The Jets roster is set, but every role is not known. There are still some things that are up in the air on offense, and we'll talk about them on today's episode of the Locked On Jets podcast.
You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome. This is the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. It's Monday, May 16th, 2022, and I'm your host, John B. from GangreneNation.com, thanking you for making the show your first listen or your first watch every day. This show is free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. If you like what you see or hear, hit that subscribe button and you'll never miss an episode. If you're watching on YouTube, please give the episode a big thumbs up. It helps the channel out and it helps other Jets fans find Locked On Jets. Our episode today is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts. Well, the player movement part of the offseason's now essentially over. We'll see, you know, you'll see some guys sign. You may see a trade, a late camp cut, but we now largely know, probably, you know, at least 95% of the key players on the Jets roster this year. The free agency, major part of free agency is over, and we're past the NFL draft, and the Jets are, you know, bringing in some undrafted guys, but we know who the key guys are going to be on the Jets roster this year. However, there are some roles that are not yet sorted out, and this is partially what you'd call camp competition territory, because there are some of these battles that probably will be determined in camp, but they're not all for starting roles, and some of these aren't just about playing time, it's just more about the way the team will deploy certain players, and we're going to talk about some of those on today's episode, on the offensive side of the ball. And I'm going to begin by talking about the backup quarterback role for the Jets, because this is kind of an intriguing situation where the Jets brought back Joe Flacco, which I've been puzzled by. I've been puzzled by the Jets bringing Flacco in the last 3 years. I mean, listen, nothing against Joe Flacco, who has been a tremendous player in this league for a very long time. But he was a tremendous player in this league for a very long time, because he's not anymore. I really don't think he can help a team win at this point. I'm not sure he can help you win even as a backup. But they also brought back Mike White. Mike White was a restricted free agent. The Jets offered him a one-year contract to bring him back, which he signed. So now you have Joe Flacco and Mike White. And is this going to be a training camp battle? In all honesty, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what the Jets' plans are right now, because part of me really feels like they do not believe in Mike White. And why do I say that? Well, first of all, last year when Zach Wilson got injured in New England, their first move was to trade for Flacco. You know, that's not the type of move you make. You don't immediately trade for another quarterback if you're confident in your backup once your starter goes down. I mean, that was kind of a red flag right there. And then, of course, Mike White shocked the world in that game against Cincinnati, where he threw for 405 yards and led the Jets to an upset victory. And he started the next couple weeks. You know, he started the Thursday night game against the Colts, where he had to leave with an injury. And then he started against Buffalo the next week. And the Buffalo game was not a very good performance by Mike White. And at the first sign, Mike White was struggling. What did the Jets do? They turned over to Flacco. Now, we know the Jets reportedly wanted to bring Flacco back in 2021, but Flacco saw a better opportunity in Philadelphia. And that's where he signed in 2021 before the Jets traded for him around the midseason point. But it seems like the Jets like Flacco better. It doesn't seem like they really believe in Mike White, but I do think it's kind of odd that they brought back both of these guys. You know, in today's NFL, you don't really have a need to carry three quarterbacks on your active roster for a couple of reasons. First of all, this goes back over a decade, but prior to 2011, the league had this rule where you could activate an extra player every week, but the player had to be a quarterback. Essentially, he was your third quarterback. And, you know, there were some other rules, there were some other aspects to this rule, like I could not enter the game prior to the fourth quarter, or you'd lose your starting and your backup quarterback for the rest of the game. But there was an incentive, because the league essentially had a rule that, like, you could activate a third quarterback for the game, and this player would not count against your allotment of active players on your roster. That went away back in 2011. And the other aspect here is the league expanded practice squad eligibility back in 2020, and essentially allowed veteran players to be on the practice squad. So you don't really need to have a third quarterback on your roster. You can have your third quarterback on the practice squad. So I look at the situation, and you know, I don't see any rationale for bringing back Joe Flacco as a, you know, $3 million number three quarterback. But I also don't really see a great rationale for having Mike White back as your number three quarterback. And yeah, I understand you want quarterback depth, but I mean, is Joe Flacco really quarterback depth at this point? It doesn't seem like a great allocation of resources. And I generally think teams under-resource the backup quarterback roles, but I don't see what having both of these guys on your team accomplishes for you this year. And I do wonder a little bit, did Mike White have trade value? If he did, then if you don't believe in him, you probably should have traded him. But it seems like the two of these guys together is just a little... it doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. I understand like bringing a third quarterback in, if you just want to have somebody on the practice squad. I understand having like a developmental third quarterback, but if you're going to bring back White, I don't really see what Flacco brings to the table outside of, you know, the cliches, experience, and cliche veteran leadership. But if you're going to bring him back, I just don't see the rationale for Mike White returning. So this brings the question, is this going to be an open battle for the number two job? I'm not really sure. I mean, if it comes down to merit, I think Mike White's actually got a shot. And to be honest with you, the way things have played out, we saw Mike White excel last year, at least in one game, and then maybe a quarter of another game. We haven't seen Flacco excel in a very long time. It's been a really long time since Joe Flacco was a quality quarterback in this league. And I don't mean any disrespect, because Joe Flacco was an excellent player for the Baltimore Ravens. Of course, won a Super Bowl back in 2012, 2013. But I don't understand. I think it's just a case where Joe Douglas scouted him. Back when Joe Douglas was a scout with the Ravens, he was a guy who scouted Flacco right before Baltimore took him. It seems like one of those situations where Joe Douglas just can't let go of the fact he scouted this guy all these years ago. But it's going to be interesting. We know Zach Wilson's going to be the starting quarterback for this team. We don't really know who the number two quarterback is. And again, the Jets may have something in mind already. And it could be, I mean, there have been a few rumblings that the Jets are going to wait till preseason and then see what the trade market is for Mike White if they don't suffer an injury at the quarterback position. This is not, in all honesty, I don't even think I wouldn't even say this is a criticism I have of the Jets. It's probably doesn't even rise to the level of me criticizing them. It's just I don't really get where they're going with this current quarterback alignment. I get that Zach Wilson's the starter. I get that you want to have somebody behind him. And I get that you can have injuries, but this quarterback room just seems like it has one too many parts right now. So we'll see what happens. My guess is that Flacco is going to be the number two quarterback, and Mike White will be number three if he's still on the team. But I'm really kind of unsure why they've gone in this direction. Maybe it will become clearer in the months ahead. I don't know, but it's definitely one thing to watch. While we're talking about the passing game, I have another thing that I have my eye on, and it has less to do with where players slot in on the depth chart and more about where they're deployed. And I'll tell you what I mean by that as we continue on this Monday episode of the Locked On Jets podcast. Of course, it is the NFL offseason, but the Stanley Cup playoffs are in full swing. You Rangers fans are probably very happy today after a classic Game 7 victory last night over Pittsburgh. We got the NBA playoffs moving on to the conference finals. Had a couple of Game 7s yesterday to settle that. We have Major League Baseball in full swing. And yeah, it is the NFL offseason, but you can still place bets on NFL futures, and BetOnline is your number one source for all of your betting needs and sports info. You can find all of the latest odds, news, and sports developments. BetOnline is your continued source for all of your sports wagering information, from live betting to playoffs to esports and more. Just head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. Thank you for making Locked On Jets your first listen or your first watch every day. We are free and available on all platforms. We continue this Monday show where we're talking about some things on the offensive side of the ball that are unsettled. In the first segment, I talked about the backup quarterback situation. Will it be Joe Flacco? Will it be Mike White? What are the Jets doing here? I don't really know. I think we know who the top three receivers on the Jets roster are going to be. That's going to be Corey Davis, going to be Elijah Moore, and it's going to be Garrett Wilson. And I don't know what order, you know, who's going to be the number one guy. My guess would be Moore would probably be the number one guy. Hopefully Garrett Wilson proves his worth. Hopefully Corey Davis bounces back a little bit. So it's not really a question of who's going to get the playing time. And then Braxton Berrios will be your number four guy. They'll slide him in there. You know, they'll manufacture some touches for him in space along with Elijah Moore. Maybe Garrett Wilson a little bit. But the question for me is more about player deployment. And it's a question, are they going to have a specific slot receiver this year, or are they going to rotate guys in and out of the slot more frequently? Now, if you follow the San Francisco 49ers, that's kind of the template for the Jets offense, because that's where Mike LaFleur is from. He, of course, came to the Jets from the 49ers. He learned under Kyle Shanahan. The 49ers tend to slide guys in and out of the slot. So you see George Kittle there. You'll see Brandon Ayuk. You'll see Deebo Samuel there. You know, they may even put a back in there from time to time. Last year, the Jets seemed to have a very well-defined slot position. It was Jamison Crowder when he was healthy, and it was Braxton Berrios when Crowder was out. And the guys who played on the outside played on the outside. And the guy I kind of looked at was Keelan Cole, because Cole had experience with Jacksonville prior to coming to the Jets, both playing inside and outside. But Keelan Cole was really an outside receiver. And the proportion I found was about 75-25. If you were an outside receiver, you were outside 75% of the time. You were only in the slot about 25% of the time. And vice versa. Crowder and Berrios were in the slot about 75% of the time. They were outside about 25% of the time last year. So it was a pretty well-defined system. It wasn't 100-0, which, you know, doesn't really exist in today's NFL. There's always some degree of versatility, but Jets had it pretty well-defined, that one guy was inside, one guy was outside. And the other thing, I looked at, like, the way the Jets deployed their receivers all sorts of different ways. I looked at, was there a difference between, you know, their outside receivers with Corey Davis always on the left, Elijah Moore always on the right? No, there really wasn't anything along those lines. It wasn't a case where, like, one guy was playing the X position right on the line on the outside, and the other guy was playing the Z where he's a little bit behind the line. It wasn't a case where, like, they divided the outside receivers by who played the short side of the field, the side of the hash closest to the sideline versus the wide side of the field. They didn't do anything like that. It was really the division was inside receivers in the slot versus outside receivers. And I wonder whether that's going to change this year. Now, part of me wonders, was this just a situation where a new coaching staff adapted to the talent that they already had? Because they inherited a roster with Crowder and Berrios, guys who are really kind of more rigidly defined. Those guys really aren't going to do a whole lot for you on the outside, but they are quality slot receivers. So was it a case they just inherited this roster and they said, you know what, this is the best way we can do it with these guys, and in the years ahead we'll adjust as we get a roster more attuned with what we want? That could be. Although I would say they did give Crowder a pay cut last, if they didn't really believe in Crowder, they could have just cut him. So it could be a case where this is a philosophical break for Mike LaFleur from Kyle Shanahan, where he wants a specific inside receiver in the slot who plays there the majority of the time. Or it could be a situation this year where you'll see guys slide in and out of the slot more. Corey Davis played the slot quite a bit in Tennessee. Elijah Moore, a lot of people thought when the Jets drafted him last year, he was destined for the slot. I mean, I think when he was first selected in the second round, a lot of us thought he was Crowder's replacement, and it turns out the Jets liked him on the outside a little bit more. If you look at Garrett Wilson, this is a guy with a pretty complete skill set, so he can play, he's projected to be able to play both the slot and the outside. So, you know, you have three guys with versatility who can move inside and outside. It's going to be interesting to see how the Jets do this. Now, part of me feels like you want to mix and match, create the matchups that you want on the inside, because that's really what the slot's becoming in the NFL. The slot's really where you get your mismatches, where you give your guy the entire field to work with, especially if you get a matchup you really like. That's a way you can free one of your go-to guys up. On the other hand, you do have two of these three receivers who are pretty young, and Moore's entering his second season, Garrett Wilson's entering his rookie year, and it could be the type of situation where you just want to simplify things for younger players. It very well could be the type of situation where you just say, you know what, maybe in the future, and this could be something to watch, maybe a year or two down the line, we'll mix and match a little bit more, but we want to get Garrett Wilson comfortable with the NFL. We think he can work really well out of the slot, so we're just going to stick him there full time. And that's one of the nice things about Garrett Wilson's skill set, is he slides in pretty much anywhere you'd want him to slide. So I'm guessing that it's probably going to be a little bit more diverse in the slot this year. I think you'll see the Jets mix and match a little bit more, because you have guys with versatile skill sets. And again, this is not going to be 100% of the time versus 0% of the time. It's always a relative thing. Last year, the Jets were relatively rigid in their alignments. You know, your outside receivers played the outside, your slot receivers played the slot. Of course, there were always exceptions. There were always plays within games where you change things up. That's the nature of the complex modern NFL offense. But last year, there clearly was a distinction between the slot receivers and the outside receivers. Will they mix and match a little bit more? I think they will. I think they have receivers with more versatile skill sets last year with Crowder gone. I know Berrios is still here, but Berrios is going to be more of a situational guy. He'll be a backup. He'll also be a return guy. With these three receivers, I would guess, and this is just a guess, that you'll probably see them mix and match a little bit more. Ahead here on the Locked On Jets podcast, there's one more thing that's unsettled on the offensive side of the ball. Once again, we're not talking about who's going to be starting. We're talking about where players are going to play. This decision will become on the offensive line, and I'll tell you what it is ahead here on this Monday episode. Just as the Jets have some decisions to make, if you're ordering Built Bars, you have a lot of tough decisions to make because there are so many delicious flavors, and there's a new delicious Built Bar. It's called Birthday Cake Puffs, and it's absolutely delicious. I gotta tell you, it tastes like a birthday cake. If you haven't tried all the puffs, I'll let you in on a little secret, because that's what friends do. A chocolate-covered marshmallow protein bar. Yes, you heard me. Delicious flavored marshmallow covered in 100% real chocolate. You can make every day your birthday with Built's Birthday Cake Puffs. Built has taken the delicious experience of having a fresh slice of birthday cake and enrobed it with 100% white chocolate and added sprinkles. And with 150 calories, 16 grams of protein, and only 9 grams of sugar, this limited time flavor is an amazing option if you're looking for a healthy way to get flavor and variety in your day. Go to Built.com and get Birthday Cake Puffs now. And while you're checking out with Birthday Cake Puffs or with any other flavor of Built Bar, you can use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your order. Again, it's promo code LOCKED15. It's one word with no space. LOCKED, number one, number five, for 15% off at Built, BUILT.com. This is the Locked On Jets podcast on this Monday. We're talking about some things that are unsettled for the Jets on the offensive side of the ball. We've talked about the backup quarterback. We've talked about how receivers will be deployed. There's one spot that I guess is like the number one position battle heading into training camp, and I think everybody knows about it. That's left tackle, but it's kind of an interesting dynamic you've got here because you have two guys who are kind of the incumbent starter at the position. You have George Fant, who started last year after Mekhi Becton got hurt, but you also have Becton, who was the starter at left tackle, who only played a game last year because of an injury. And what also makes this interesting is, because of what the Jets did in the offseason, or more to put it more accurately, what the Jets did not do in the offseason, the loser still has a starting job. The loser essentially goes to right tackle, the way Robert Saleh is saying this. And, you know, on one level, I really like the idea that you're not just gifting a spot to a guy who was, because he was a first-round pick a couple of years ago, that you're doing it based on merit, that you're saying, you know what, Fant played pretty well last year, we're going to give him a shot to keep the job. So on the one hand, I really like that. On the other hand, this would make more sense to me if the Jets brought in another tackle during the offseason, because this creates kind of a strange dynamic where if you play this out as a true competition, you're going to be having Fant and Becton flip-flop between left and right tackle all preseason instead of preparing them for the spot that they're going to have during the season. You know, isn't training camp really about getting yourself ready for the season as much as anything? So to me, like, this would make more sense if, like, the loser went to the bench. But if you're going to have the loser go to right tackle, it almost seems to me like this is something that's going to have to be decided early. I don't know that this is the type of thing you can wait forever to make a decision on, because you want the loser to be comfortable at the right tackle position, and you want the winner to have as many reps as possible at left tackle. Now, there is an argument to be made for at least some degree of changing between the left and the right side, because the loser will presumably be the number two left tackle. You know, if somebody gets hurt, if the left tackle gets hurt, the loser who ends up at right tackle will probably slide over to the left side of the line. So on that level, I guess it makes sense to get guys experience at both spots. But I do think you have like these two competing forces right here. Yeah, on the one hand, you want to make sure you have the best guy at left tackle. On the other hand, you want to make sure that the eventual right tackle is prepared to play right tackle. So it's a bit of a delicate dance for the Jets right now. And you know, you have other factors that come into play here. You know, a lot of people think that Fant's best spot is on the left side, Becton's best is on the right side. Becton profiles as more of a road grader in the run game. That's typically where people want to put their right tackle. Fant is more of a pass protector who isn't as good as a run blocker. That's typically what you see more on the left side. I don't know how compelling that is to me. I don't think there's any rule in the NFL that like your road grader has to be on the right side, your pass protector has to be on the left side. You do want your guy on the left side to be a good pass protector, but there's no rule against him being a good run blocker either. And on the same note, there's no rule that your right tackle necessarily has to be a great run blocker. Your right tackle can just be a really good pass blocker. So there's also a school of thought that Fant has shown in his career that he can only play the left side effectively. I think that the evidence for that is not as strong as people make it out to be. You know, Fant had his best year last year when he played next to Elijah Vera Tucker. He had a bad year in 2020 playing next to Greg Van Roten. Sometimes we forget about the role the guy you're playing next to can have in your success or failure. There also is an element that, you know, the long-term plan has always been Mekhi Becton to play left tackle. And I think there is an argument to be made that there needs to be something drastic to happen to change that plan. I think that that's a fair argument to make. Is Fant playing well for 1 year a good enough reason to change your long-term plan? Maybe. I don't know how compelling that argument is, but I do think it's out there. I think there's some degree of validity to it, and it's obviously competing against the idea that you want to create a pure culture of meritocracy here. You know, I do like the idea that you're not just handing Becton the job, but there is that element of that. Are you changing your long-term plan? Do you have a good enough reason to do it? So all of these factors come into play, but as we get closer and closer, I feel like they need to make a decision. Maybe they don't need to make a decision on day one of camp, but I feel like this needs to be the type of thing that's kind of locked in well in advance of the season. So that way, whoever is the right tackle can prepare on that side of the line and really, you know, get used to it, especially if it's Becton, who played both sides at Louisville. In fact, at Louisville, there were points where in college where he'd change from the left side to the right side play to play, depending on what his team was doing. But I think if you're moving Becton to the right side, he hasn't played there in a couple of years, you want to get him as many reps as you can. So, and I think that I think it's going to be interesting to see how the Jets play this thing out. And those are like three areas where I think I have an idea what the Jets are going to do, but I'm not entirely confident. So I think Joe Flacco is going to be the backup quarterback. I think that they'll probably mix and match a little bit more at the slot position. And my guess is they love George Fant, so I think Fant's going to play left tackle, and my guess is Becton slides over to the right side, and he's next to Vera Tucker. Just like last year, you thought they'd be on the left side, this year they'll be on the right side together. That's my guess, but I'm not 100% on that, and it'll be interesting to see how this all takes form as we approach training camp and the 2022 season. Anyway, that's all for our show today. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day is our motto. Big shout out to subscribers to this podcast, and to join that group, all you have to do is hit that subscribe button where you are listening or watching, and you'll never miss an episode. If you're watching on YouTube, please give this episode a big thumbs up. It helps the channel out, and it helps other Jets fans find this show. Hope you have a great Monday, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow to talk more Jets.